Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Okay, the one thing I was dead wrong about when it came to the Bills and the Texans, I said it multiple times last week, said it in my podcast, the Utopia Football Podcast. I thought that the winner of this game, especially given the fact, Seth, that it was the only game all weekend that involved two teams that were above 500, like two 3-1 teams. These are two of the at the very least better, if not two of the best teams in the AFC. I said that the whoever wins this game will be the talk of that they will be at the bottom of the screen in a positive. The winner would be at the bottom of the screen on First Take and Get Up and all those shows. And the topic would be, does fill in the name of team that won this game, are they the challenger to the Chiefs in the AFC? And I was right about one thing. The Texans-Bills game was at the bottom of the screen yesterday, but it was the loser of the game that was the big topic. The biggest topic yesterday was Sean McDermott and the way he handled the end of that game. Huge topic.
Right. Yeah, and I thought too, you know, in thinking about that last week, I thought if the Bills lose this game, I think it's going to end up being more about maybe the Bills aren't as good as we thought they were.
For real.
And you look at what the Texans were able to do to Josh Allen, and I felt this in myself. I felt I didn't give the Texans defense enough credit, really, for making Josh Allen have that performance, partly because I'm looking at his weaponry without Khalil Shakir, and you can see, all right, he just doesn't have the horses, and the Texans did a really good job of exposing that, but that's a couple weeks in a row now where teams are looking at the Bills and saying, well, gosh, they got throttled by the Ravens. We're not quite sure what the Texans are, but they lost to the Texans. And it was more of a diminishment of the Bills than it was an elevation of the Texans in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. J.J. Watt tweeted this while the game was going on Sunday. Baffling game management decisions by the Bills at the end of this game. He tweeted that at 3:12 p.m., so right as that game is winding down. J.J. Watt tweeted that. Mike Greenberg tweets yesterday, there will be losses in the NFL this year. There will be worse losses in the NFL this year than the one the Bills just took, but there may not be a dumber one than the Bills just took.
Sean McDermott admitted it was a mistake immediately. Well, he said he'd take the blame for it after the game.
I thought Mike Sando, and I don't want to dive too nerdy deep at 6:23 in the morning and the mechanics at the end of the game. I'll just say this. The fact that the Texans had all three timeouts left at that point was a real weapon for the Texans.
Yeah.
Because even if the Bills just tried to empty the Texans' timeout satchel, if they don't get a first down there, the Texans are still getting the ball back at midfield with a chance to win that game.
Right. Yeah, that's the – I didn't think it was nearly – as like overly aggressive or anything that anybody else have been, accusing McDermott of. Plus, I mean, at the end of the day, all right, wait a second. Is your quarterback the MVP leader or not?
Right.
Like, exactly. Okay. Is Sean McDermott, if all of a sudden all the same people that are saying Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league this year are now saying that coach trusted his quarterback too much.
Yeah.
No, that was dumb.
No, that's a good argument. My counter argument would be, well, he was 9 for 27 up to that point. He wasn't having the greatest day and the Texans
How
were getting
small
after
is
him.
Your faith, Sean no, Pendergast? How small is your faith?
I acknowledge the validity of the Josh Allen MVP argument. So I don't think D'Amico was perfect at the end of that game. Like, D'Amico, if the Texans don't win that game, D'Amico probably gets a lot of heat, or maybe Bobby Slowick with approval from D'Amico at continuing to throw the ball on the second-to-last possession, where way more bad stuff can happen than you just running it into the middle of the line and letting Kaimi try a 59-yarder at that point, right? Because you had three timeouts. You're working the clock at that point. You could have run it into the line, taken the clock down, and kicked a 59-yarder instead of having CJ drop back where you can get sacked, you can throw an interception, or you can have what happened. He gets an intentional grounding penalty.
The one part, I've been very critical of them for passing in that moment. The one thing that I keep reminding myself is I can't sit here and expect Kaimi Fairbairn to hit a 59-yarder, which also then puts you in bad field position, or there's more of a – longer the field goal, the more of a chance for a block and a return all of that. So I just – yeah, are we – Are we getting a little too comfortable thinking that Kaimi can just, as long as it's 65 yards yes. or less, we're cool?
The answer is yes. Yes. Okay. I fully expected him to make the 59-yarder that he made at the end of the game, and that's not a healthy prism to be looking at that game through. You know, like, hey, he'll make the 59-yarder. It's no big deal. Here was D'Amico yesterday. He was asked about it. Your decision to continue to pass on that second-to-last possession, which led to intentional grounding penalty, which led to a punt by Tommy Townsend instead of a field goal attempt by Kaimi Fairbairn.
Yeah, with that, you know, we felt like they would zero pressure us. So, you know, of course, you would like to say run the ball, but not trying to lose yards there. Felt like with the pass, we can get a quick pass there to the side, quick pass to Dalton there, but miscommunication on the route between Tank, Dalton, CJ, miscommunication at a critical moment in the game, not clean enough, not good enough for us offensively. Like in that moment, like we have to be able to execute much better, and that wasn't good enough.
Okay, now that's a fair point that I had not thought of. The fact that, I mean, I'm treating this running game like it's some vaunted running game that's going right. to automatically get you 3 or 4 yards. To me, because like they were probably going to zero blitz us, and that would result in a loss of 4 yards running Dare up the middle.
Listen, we're having a hard enough time running against
yes.
light boxes,
right.
Much less a zero blitz. So the other part of it, too, is that it wasn't like they were trying to take a shot downfield.
No.
It was, you know, the short passing game is an extension of the run game. And in that regard, I think the execution of it and the fact that there was a miscommunication makes me more understanding of it.
Yeah.
I think this is I'm guilty of this. We as football fans are very, very guilty of this. Like, come on, guys. All you got to do to combat the blitz is run more screens, throw a screen. My God, can we not be more aggressive? My God, yeah. What the hell is going
it's
on
true.
Here?
It's true.
Or just run it there. Why aren't you running there?
Yeah, someone said, thanks, Sean, but it was going to be closer than 59 at that time. It would have been about a 57-yarder. They were at the 39-yard line of Buffalo.
If they ran, they would have got a 2-yard loss.
I hadn't even thought about that until D'Amico said it there. I'm like, yeah, that is true. They could have gotten stuffed in the backfield. Dario Gumbawale has the best job in the NFL. No other job can you carry the ball 15 times for 30 yards and be lauded like you're Eric Dickerson after the game.
I was trying to figure that out. I think CJ and D'Amico and the other people that were complimenting not just Dare as a receiver, but Dare the running back. Because CJ said it, and I think D'Amico did too. Man, they would say, you know, catching the ball, running the ball. Yeah. I think they're just being polite there.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, 2 yards per carry is not an awesome rushing performance. I would say a couple maybe more critical or key successful runs in the second half.
Yeah.
So as you think about them trying to close the game out, it started to look better, but still not great.
He was good, other than the drop that he had, which was really crucial because CJ fumbled on the next play. But the 6 catches he had for 57 yards were massive in this game.
Okay,
those were big catches.
And that's one, too, where, again, everything offsetting each other. You know, Dare Ogunbowale, if he's never in there to run the ball, they're going to account for him in the passing game. You know, and on those one of the passes he had, one of the receptions he had in the first half was beautiful, just in that it's one of the best ways to combat what you see with all these simulated blitzes. Everybody's all lined up at the line of scrimmage. Some of them are blitzing, some of them aren't. But on this play, Dare's in the backfield. The linebacker's up at the line. Whichever linebacker was responsible for him in coverage got hung up in the line, and Dare ends up wide open, you know, because they had a mismatch numbers-wise. And, like, those things, if you just send Dare out there to be, you know, you're nothing but a receiving back, it's not going to work nearly as well as when they're actually running him too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was trying to multitask here, Sean.
That's
sorry
right.
about the stuttering there.
No worries.
I went all Max Headroom on you.
Good. Hey, kids, Max Headroom was this computer-generated,
really annoying TV show in the 80s.
Super annoying, yeah.
And, yeah, I just watched it all the time. trying to figure out what the hell was. You know, when you're that age and you're watching Max Headroom, I remember being an age where I still wasn't sure if it was an actual human or not. Like, is that an actor or is it, you know, I couldn't be bothered to read the TV guide to find out about it. Like, I was like, wait, is that a computer simulation
or
is that an actual?
The TV guide was this printed. We're having a lot of hey kids moments this morning. Here was D'Amico yesterday on the the importance of having all three of his timeouts left at the end of the game?
For us, you want to save those times. Timeouts are valuable, especially in the second half, so you want to save them as much as you can. So we just to make sure we're running a clean operation offensively where we don't have to burn any timeouts. So the guys did a good job operating there, so we could be in position to have three timeouts, you know, under our discretion there at the end of the game, and it helped us out there tremendously.
I think D'Amico, where, you know, we can nitpick at some of the game management things over the course of the season, maybe. I mean, I think D'Amico, by and large, has been an excellent game manager since he got here as a head coach last year. Excellent. The one thing he has given a master class in the last 2 weeks is the importance of timeouts at the end of a game. When your team's burning a timeout because you can't get situated in the middle of the third quarter, what I've learned in the last couple weeks is I should be way angrier about this, because in the Jaguars game, it was so important that D'Amico forced the Jags to deplete their timeouts on that final drive, right? I mean, that ensured that the Texans, at worst case, were going to overtime in that game, and the Jags were not going to be getting the ball back with any significant opportunity to win that game. And then yesterday, I tell you, having all three of those timeouts still left, with the Bills having the football at their own three-yard line, that impacted the thinking of Sean McDermott. I guarantee you it did, because he's... Sean McDermott was kind of trapped in a corner. Yeah, throwing three incomplete passes and leaving the Texans with any timeouts is suboptimal. But again, to your point, you got Josh Allen back there. The alternative is you run the ball into the line three times, you empty their timeouts, and the Texans still get the ball back at the 50.
I'm not trying to make a C.J. Stroud, Pat Mahomes comparison, but I think it is when you respect the quarterback on the other side of the field, it's that you don't want to give him any kind of field position.
That's right.
You want to make it as hard as possible for him to come back and have any kind of a drive. So, I will staunchly, you know what, I'm going to call a Buffalo radio station today.
Do it.
And, yeah,
as
I'm going to defend
Payne,
Sean McDermott.
As Seth Payne, or as like Bob on a mobile or something?
No,
like
this is my method acting role. I'm going to pretend I'm actually Sean McDermott's cousin, and I'm going to be like a burner account almost.
That's just exactly
defending
what I was thinking.
Sean. You know what? Hey, put that down in the book of things that we'll never get to. Me calling other cities' radio stations pretending to be or delivering like the most possibly unpopular take that they want to hear, like defending the most hated person in that city.
Now, you may need a burner phone for that, because your caller ID might show up. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Based on the 19 calls a day I get that look like they're coming from my area code, I'm guessing that there's an app I can use for that.
That's true. That's true.
The 19 calls a day I get that are actually computers.
Say spam
or
risk below them.
Somebody who's definitely sitting in some sweatshop in a foreign country.
What did you make of the cold handshake between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs? Did you see that after the game?
I saw various Bills fans saying this is proof positive that Stephon Diggs is a horrible person, just a notch below Hitler. Yeah, I thought it looked like the classic, like, hey, what's up? Maybe two guys that don't love each other, but whatever. Yeah.
The screen grab that's making the rounds is the best.
The one that it's at his eyes, it's just got like a scowl on his face. Yeah, the screen grab is so evil, man.
I know.
It's one notch below Hitler is what it is, Sean.
But it's so funny. It's so funny because it is. I mean, because Diggs already has kind of that built-in scowl on his face.
He's got a little of the resting Brandon Cook's face.
Yeah. And the way the picture is, because Josh Allen is super, I'll retweet this for those who haven't seen it. Josh Allen's super close to the camera, and Diggs' eye just fits in perfectly between Allen's chin and his shoulder pad. It just looks so funny. I choose to believe there's still drama.
Do you walk around society fearing like the chance that somebody's taking a, like catching you with a still shot where you might just be checking out the prices at the fish market or something, but it looks like you're staring at an old lady's butt? Like, I worry about that way too much. This constant surveillance I'm under.
To answer your question, no, I don't, and that's why I'm going to get caught in a situation like that at some point. I have zero awareness.
There's always the worst are basketball games, because somebody's sitting like courtside And you can tell, you can actually tell that they're watching some action on the court, but because like Brad Pitt's looking sideways, it looks like he's checking out the Laker girl's butt or something.
Yeah.
They do it with women at basketball games a lot too. God help you if you're a woman that shows any kind of emotion at all on your face. It turns into like, look at her totally like lusting over this player right next to her man.
Or a woman eating a hot dog at a game.
Right, right.
That's a death blow right there. That was Amy's friends. One of Amy's really good friends is used to date Hunter Pence. And they would go to Astros games all the time, and Hunter would warn them before the games, don't eat any hot dogs at the games.
especially, because of him.
There'd be a camera shot of them at the game. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Still a reaction Tuesday here, because we're still basking in the afterglow of the Texans win over the Bills. We've got a whole lot more to get to on the show, including headlines. We got Monday Night Football last night. Your Don nominated for a little hardware, and we've got updates on all the injuries for the Texans as well. That is coming up next.